as we go through the migration story, it tells us a lot about everything and about the Shalako. Everybody's saying, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Thanksgiving. I'm saying, Happy Shalako. This weekend is Shalako. And that starts out our winter solstice. And, you've experienced it. They're welcoming. Zuni people are welcoming if you have a Zuni escort you in. That's the Longhorns. That's part of the group, too. That's coming with the Shalako. They start preparing a year long. And those two representatives are going to learn the migration prayer by memory. They have a year to learn it. And it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours long prayer. And it talks about from the very beginning of when Zuni first migrated from the ant people in Grand Canyon and how they come up from the underworld into where they are now. And it talks everything about it.
Do you see how earlier this year in Texas, spikes as high as 5,000%? I'm sorry, 6,000%? The surges were insane. Prices are continuing to rise. Now, not only are energy bills rising, but also dirty EMFs. And tens of thousands of people are using this amazing little device. It's small and sophisticated. It stabilizes electrical currents. It reduces dirty electricity. It helps protect your appliances and electronics. All you have to do is plug it into your home's wall outlet, and it will help dramatically lower energy consumption and ultimately help reduce your power bills month after month. If you place your order right now, you're going to get a 66% discount. Go to don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. You'll be glad you did.
All around it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so,
So corn, so you're talking about corn and going to the grocery store and feeding the crows.
yeah, feeding the crows, and everybody's saying, why feed them? Well, they gotta eat too, It's wintertime, because at first, when we first started, we would put out corn, the squirrels, the chipmunk, they were hilarious, because the chipmunk, they're small little critters, One of them tried to pick up a corn and run with it to his house, I guess, picked it up, and it was too heavy, and it fell backwards with it. And I laughed, and that chipmunk got mad, So, but we give them peanuts, corn, bird feeds, and we feed the animals out here, we live out in the country
I've
or
seen
up in the
some,
mountains too.
just real quick, I wanted to make a point because I think it could really help you guys if you wanted to take on a new project, is I've seen some YouTube channels that they'll live stream the nature and the animals, and they'll put food out for, like you said, chipmunks, squirrels, and all these other animals and crows and birds. And it's really fun to watch them. And they don't even, they don't realize they're being recorded and they're just doing their thing. And
Yeah.
that'd be fun, man. I'd like to see that because it sounds like you've made a pretty cool relationship with some of the wildlife out there. That's great.
We do. And during the summertime, when we eat the watermelon, we throw out the rinds, and the deer will come at night and eat them. Deer, all kinds of things, bigger animals, will come and eat the watermelon rinds, and so, but we enjoy being out here just feeding the nature because it's a blessing to us. We got to feed everybody,
Yeah.
and do what we can. And
I like crows. I think they're pretty awesome birds, man. They're strong, but ravens are even stronger. And a lot of
oh
people
yeah, you can
don't
tell
realize
the
that.
difference between a raven and a crow, because a raven, they have those longer beaks. A crow has those small beaks, and they like sometimes, if they don't have enough, we got peanuts out there for the squirrels, and they'll eat some of them peanuts, but they're hilarious when they eat peanuts, because they try to crack open them, and they just shake their head like crazy, trying to open up that peanut, and they know they're nuts in there, and they just, like I said, they're hilarious to watch them, So, but that's what we do, it's fun out here, but
When are you coming back to New Mexico?
probably as soon as it warms up, because the weather, I'm not, I got to get reacclimated to that cold weather, my skin got a little weak, being in this warm South country, I mean, the coldest it got is like today, it's up in the 60s, you know, so it's going to be a beautiful day today, you know, and we don't see snow until probably late January, and it's like half an inch, and people go crazy out here when it does that. You know, I mean, Walmart shelves are empty and everything. I said, man, you know, I said, I just look at him, I just laugh. But, you know, I guess today I want to talk about, you know, I told you, you know, what we're going to talk about, basically. Yeah. Surviving the reservation and all that. And but, you know, like it always says, today's Thanksgiving, so happy Turkey Day. And but everybody's saying happy Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. I'm saying happy Shalakot. You know, this weekend is Shalakot. And that starts out our winter solstice. And normally we have it in December, but this year it's about a week early. And I kept wondering, I said, why is it a week early? And, you know, our stargazer basically told me that because we had two blue moons this year. And the last one was in October. And when we had the last one, that's when he set the date for Shalakot. And I said, okay, well, Shalakot's going to fall into November if he sets the date today. So he did. And it got set. So, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, we're having it. And so everybody's preparing right now. You know, my sister called me yesterday and I said, I got to make it quick. We're busy. We're busy. I said, what are you doing? Well, I baked two oven loads of bread already. And I said, wow, that's about like 50 to 60 loads of bread. And, you know, you've experienced it. You know, they're welcoming. Zuni people are welcoming if you have a Zuni escort you in, you know. I mean, they're not going to basically ban you, but, you know, they had to get that strict, I guess, because even though there's big signs that says no picture taking, no sketching, no recording, no this, people will try to do whatever they can. You know, I don't know if they're in their rebel years or what, but break the law. But no, you know, they try to do that. But so that's what kind of told the, I guess, the tribal officials and the religious leaders that we need to somehow control it. So now, you know, we came up to a roadblock, but it was no big deal going across it, you know. And, you know, I talked to them and they said, okay, we went through, you all got to see coming off the mountain. But that's just the beginning part of it, you know. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell you, Shalakot is a year-long process of preparation. They have six kivas, and each kiva has a Shalakot. And when those Shalakot come off the mountain, or when they start preparing it, the kiva leaders, each kiva will have to pick up two representatives to represent during in the Shalakot. And those two representatives will also look into, that's the Longhorns, that's part of the group too, that's coming with the Shalakot. But, you know, they start preparing a year long. And those two representatives are going to learn the migration prayer by memory. They have a year to learn it, and it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours long prayer. And it talks about from the very beginning of when Zuni first migrated from the Ant people in Grand Canyon and how they come up from the underworld into where they are now. And it talks everything about it. And again, the book, Matilda Cox Stevenson's Ethnology Report, 1901-1903, has that information in there. Back then, she was allowed to document it, and she did. And so, you know, if you want to read it, look online, it's on there. And the thing about it is the AI, if you have a computer that would read it off to you, it's an AI reading that whole story, but, you know, he can't pronounce the Zuni words, so you get fumbled over Zuni words, but...
So who do I look up if I wanted to listen to this?
Yeah, you can go online. I'll see how Kim found it, and I'll put it on the link. I'll send you the link again.
And what was her name, though? You said from 1926?
Matilda Cox Stevenson. Matilda Cox Stevenson, Ethnology Report. Bureau of Ethnology Report. 1901, 1903 is the last one she did. But she has another one previously that she did back in 1883. And that's when Frank Hamilton Cushing came out to Zuni also. And Frank Hamilton Cushing has a book called Cushing, you know. And so they're the first two ethnologists that came to Zuni to start documenting everything. So they document Shalako. And Shalako, like I say, it's a year-long process. And when Shalako comes, it's a whole village activity. And that starts our winter solstice. And it's going to be the coldest 2 days of the year when Shalako comes. Why? I don't know. And, you know, after Shalako, like I said, they come off the mountain, they dance all night. And then the big Shalako, the tall ones, are going to have Shalako races the next day. And then they depart along with the longhorns that you have in the back of your picture. They participate. Then they depart on Sunday evening. But the Kivas are going to continue the celebration for six more days, Sunday through Friday. Every night, they're going to have dances and whatever going on to the new Shalako houses that they built to have the Shalakos come into. Families usually sponsor the house, but the Kiva group is the one that build the house for the family that sponsors the house. So if you want a free house, go sponsor a Shalako group and you get a free house built, you know. But, you know, they do that to the Zuni people, and normally it's a big house, you know, like my mama's house. You see how big my mama's house was, you know, and those kind of houses, it belongs to the family, you know, and that will start the generation of passing it down, and because Zuni's a matriarchal society, so it won't go to the boys of the house, it'll go to the daughters of the house, you know, it'll go like my mama's house. My sister got that house. My oldest sister, even though she has her own house, she got that house because she's the oldest female in the household. So she got it, you know. I did have another sister, but she passed about 10 years ago, something like that, you know. But so now our only sister got that house. So she has two houses now. But, you know, when Shalako happens, you know, everybody is fed. You know that. We ate it. Jimmy's like crazy, you know. And I always tell everybody, if you're going to go to Shalako House to go watch the dances, I tell people, I say, do not eat a lot. Because every time you go to a house, you have to eat. Because they're blessing you with food. And again, like they say, if you don't accept their blessings, you're stealing their blessings. So they're blessing you to be blessed. You know, so you eat, and I tell them, I said, don't eat a lot. I know the food is good, great and everything, but don't eat a lot, because every time we go, even if it's not a Shalako house, even if we go visit somebody, you know, they say, come on in and eat, come on in. If you notice, I don't think you've been visiting other tribes, but if you go to other tribes, like we went to Laguna for their feast, every house we come over, come on in my house and eat, come on in my house and eat. Man, I said, man, no, I'll be a butterball by the time I get out of here, you know. But, you know, as we know, that's how Thanksgiving started. The natives felt the pilgrims. So I think it's the pilgrims trying to feed the natives now. But anyway, that's beside the point. I always say that every year, you know, but haven't got invited to a dinner yet. So, but, you know, they always... Every time a celebration goes on, no matter what tribe, they're going to feed you. And Shalako is one of them that we do feed a lot of everybody. And that's why they cook all that bread. They cook all that stew, tamales. I mean, you name it, they'll cook it. And even dessert. And man, you know, yeah, there you go. That's a lot of eating going on, you know, and a lot of food going on. And by the way, You know, you talk, you asked me about Inky and Inya, right behind you. The two of them, you know. There you go. No, no, I'm talking about in the shrine back there. You know, so, you know, yeah, there you go. There you go. You know, and those are the two war gods that brought us from the underworld and guided us to where we are now. Every time you hear, in fact, when you read the story about the migration on the Matilda Cox Stevenson book, he talks about the two war gods that led the Zunis, I mean, to where they are now. And even when we separated, you know, different tribes like Hopi, when they decided to stay in Arizona, Hopi was with Zuni when they migrated. So when they went to Arizona, you know, they were there, they made sure they settled. And then Zuni moved on, and when they got a place to where they called Hantapinkia, that's where the Zunis separated again, and a lot of the, some of them went south. That's where the two eggs, remember the two eggs, you know, remember two eggs, the blue egg and the colorful egg? That's where they separate, that's how they separated. They rolled the egg, and whichever egg they picked, they went with the egg, and they rolled the egg, and whatever female it came to, that was their partner when they separated. So that's where it happened. And when they separated, those people went down south, and it was the macaw egg that they followed. And that's why the macaws are more south, you know, southern Central America and South America. So, and the crow egg was just a beautiful egg, colorful egg. And that's came out west, or Zuni as right now. But, you know, as we go through the migration story, it tells us a lot about everything and about the Shalakos, about everything. I mean, so when I go into our holiday seasons, you know, we follow Zuni way because after Shalako, after it's all said and done, they get a 10-day break. 10-day break that starts their winter solstice, which brings in, you know, the 10-day fast. And after the 10-day fast, after the 10-day fast, brings in the Zuni New Year. And that New Year is according to the galaxy, because that's how the Stargazer and the Galaxy Fraternity agreed to work. Okay. Now is the time to do it. And they do it. And when that new year comes, that starts our new year, which in structuralism, again, that starts when, after Chala goes over, they get that break and the fasting is over with. That's when they start choosing for next year's Chala. You know, so, and then the houses and the representatives and everything will start from the beginning. And things, people will start building, and people will get trained that took the position, they'll get trained, you know. And like I said, it's a year-long process, and it goes yearly, every year. But throughout the year, after Shalako and after everybody's picked and everything, then comes our night dances. Night dances of the six kivas. We have 6 weeks, not really each week, but could be every other week. But whenever they get ready, we'll have a night dance. You know, night dancers starts around 9 o'clock till about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And those dances will happen 6 times. And when that's over with, then we start preparing for our summer solstice, our summer rain dances. And again, it's according to when that stargazer said, okay, it's time. It's time for this, time for that. Because usually around April, he'll start looking about how it's lining up. And once it lines up to a certain position, they'll announce it to the people. Okay, we had our last frost is coming in 2 weeks. So let's start preparing our land to plant. And then people will go out and plant. Well, usually they go out and plant, but, you know, anyway, they will go out and plant corn, whatever their farm is, you know, whether it's corn, watermelon, beans, or wheat, or whatever they're planting, they'll go out and plant that. And then again, the summer solstice come, and summer solstice come, you know, before it happens, the whole tribe will fast, but not for 10 days anymore, but just time for 4 days. And then after the fourth day, the rain priests, they make their pilgrimage. And then they come back and they bring the rain dances with them. And then they have a rain dance. And, you know, again, sort of like Shalako, but they come off the mountain, they dance all night, all day the next day. And, you know, usually it'll rain during the time that they're dancing. So it's a blessing. And then that brings in the monsoon season. And it'll start raining. And, of course, you plant it, so everything's growing. And then when it's time, the stargazer says, okay, you have 2 weeks before we get our first frost. So start harvesting. Everybody go out and harvest. And when I was growing up, we used to just, there would be people riding their buggies, you know, wagons to the fields, and we'd jump on one of them and go out there and we'd help them all day. And then when we get home, he'll share some of his crop with us. That will be our payment, you know? And so, you know, we would work like that. And back then when I was growing up, Zuni was self-sufficient to where they really didn't. We had one little trading post that had a little bit of groceries, you know, but not a lot, you know? And so, you know, we would have farmers farm and we have ranchers. Some of them had sheep, some of them had cows. And again, everything was exchanged, you know, nothing was sold to these people. We didn't sell each other. Money was not a value during that time. You know, I will trade you this for that. I'll give you some of this for some of that. You know, they would always trade something, or if they have plenty, they'll just end up giving it to whoever needs it, you know? And after that, during that time, we'll have what they call harvest dances. And harvest dances usually has a giveaway at the end of the dance. So whatever you plant it, you end up giving to the people, sharing it with the people that come watch the dances. And so that would probably, that would last for a while. And then probably till about late September, October, that will be the last time of the harvest dance. And after that harvest dance, then again, they go out and set the date for Shalako again. So, you know, it's a structure in our life to where we do that. Now, functionalism, according, like for me, we have our patrilineal and our matrilineal clan system. So of our patrilineal clan, we help sponsor, we help support. And our matrilineal clan, we take with our mama and do whatever needs to get done, you know. So we, you know, you have a responsibility on whatever is going on. And each clan is represented somehow to where when it happens, you have a choice of which way you have responsibility of both sides, your matrilineal and your patrilineal side to help out. So that's just part of our thing. And you know, Zuni, I like it because it's out of everybody's way. You know, closest town is about 45 minutes away. Closest Walmart, I'll put it this way, is about 45 minutes to an hour away, you know. And, you know, there's nobody, no kind of, well, it is happening now. At first, you know, when cell phones came out, we had one cell tower. And when everybody gets on it, you'd be lucky if you got on it. But if, you know, we had one, so it got overloaded. Or when it snows, nobody gets on. Same with our television. You know, we have one translator. And when it snows, ain't nobody watching TV. So nobody had reason to have a TV because we didn't have cable. We didn't have anything like that. And finally, starting about 2 years ago, they start working on it. And this year probably is the first year they're going to have high-speed internet. Some say it's going to be good. Some say it's not going to be good. And so a lot of the people have refused to allow the internet come to the house, even though it's free. Free for the first 5 years, high-speed internet. But Some people don't want it in their house. You know, the traditional teaching is still probably going in the house. That's why they don't want it in the house. And because nowadays with the cell phones, everybody looking down, all the kids have cell phones, you know, because it's, again, cell phones, again, is free for life for the name, for the Zuni people. We have cell phones that's free for life. So, you know, why not get it? You know, it's free, you know, but, you know, I'd assume, you know, not have a cell phone, but they say, you got to have it, you got to have it. But, you know, it is what it is, but.
You know, Greg, let me just jump in for a minute, man, because it's like technology is amazing and it's equally as not amazing. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I've literally just what you're talking about. I've been thinking about what it was like 30 years ago, you know, when I was a kid and I didn't have a phone with me everywhere I went and I didn't have a phone to look up directions. I didn't have a phone. You know, I mean, I had to go find it myself. And now it's anything you want, basically. In many regards, many things you want, you can find on your phone now. So it's literally changed the way people think. It's all about balance. If we like, you have so many opportunities there. And as a native, like you said, there's things that are offered that are free that a lot of people don't take advantage of. And so it's all about balance, right? I think that I can feel what you want to do with the Zuni Nation, man. I can sense it. And I think it's amazing because correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like you want to take the reservation, the nation, the Zuni Nation to the next level. And you want people to kind of maybe, okay, let's take these traditions, but let's look at the 21st century also and incorporate both and not look at one or the other as bad or good, but kind of take the good of everything and bring it together. So that you're more modernized, but you're also more independent, like growing your own foods and stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because, well, again, modernized planting and Zuni planting, again, modernized planting, you see it everywhere. I mean, when I was up in Pennsylvania, I saw it in the Amish countries as well as the Mennonite country. You know, the Mennonites had the tractor with a GPS on it, making a perfect field planting, you know, perfectly. I mean, right in sync with everything. With the Amish, you just, you know, it's not too perfect because they don't use tractors, you know, and they use horse, you know. And as a Zuni, I looked at it different. I looked at it as like when you use a tractor to plant, you know, and the tractor's throwing the seeds in as it goes, everything, the whole nine yards. Yeah, that's, you can do a lot of planting that way, and it's a lot easier. But again, what is the spirit behind a planting in there?
And what happens if you have an EMP?
Yeah, like in Zuni, you have a digging stick. You know, when you have a digging stick, you can only jab it down so far to Mother Earth, and, you know, you're doing it, taking your time, makes you realize how hard you work to earn what you plant. Makes you appreciate the plant. And while you're planting, you're talking to Mother Earth. You're talking to the seeds. You're talking to your digging stick saying, look, we got to work together. Let's work together and get this harvest. Have a good year of harvest, you know. And it may not be a perfect line, but, you know, you're still going and you're planting. And you know, you're again, you're connecting with your seeds, with mother, with the digging stick. So as you plant it, you're going like that rather than going into just say, you know, with a tractor, you know, tractor is, I'm sure it's got a spirit somehow, the machine, but
Ehrenmann. It's Ehrenmann.
Yeah. But you know, that's the whole thing. And that's again, I'm throw this in just a quick one. That's the reason why I'm teaching. It's because I want people to realize, to connect with their source above and below, mother, father, creator, whatever you want to call him, God, whatever. Connect with your higher source and mother, because we are, as they say, as above, so below. You know, we are the connection to heaven on earth. And if we can connect to have a spiritual life, it's like the Buddhists visualize world peace. You think how much peaceful people would be. Not crazy, you know, but anyway, that's a side thing. Side
I ball. Have a dream.
Yeah, I have a dream, you know, but you know, it's really good because, you know, to understand your spiritual side of you, you know, again, we have students right now. Our class has students from one end of the coastline to the other end, from east to west. We have students in between, you know, taking our classes. And we have some that are taking it because they really, really want to learn. And they just don't have to be native. We got one lady, she's a Puerto Rican. She's going through a lot herself. And she's saying, what's going on with this? What's going on? And when she's taking a class, she is really into it. We got them in modules. And she really studies everything. And when we have our Zoom meeting to talk about it, she has some good questions. And I told her, this last one we had, I said, look, you know, you need to catch up because we're fixing to heat the meat. My next class is going to be the magic. The magic. I will teach you that magic. Because everybody keep asking me, what is the magic? Well, I'll fix and teach it. And our next classes are going to be going up, getting yourself in a higher dimension of where you are. Because this class, like I said, the medicine wheel teaches you, you know, white, yellow, red, black. Well, what are those? White is fire. Yellow is white is fire, yellow is air, red is Mother Earth, black is water. And those, again, are the four skin colors of the world. But, okay, we'll look at energy. What is that energy? Well, energy, in this class, I teach them about mind over matter. You can talk yourself into doing it. Like, you can talk yourself into saying, I'm going to pick up that 500-pound block. I'm going to pick up that. You get down there, you talk yourself into it. Without thinking, you can pick that up when you get your mind over matter taken care of. You may not hold it long, but at least you can pick it or you can nudge it, you know, because when we talk ourselves into it, that is mind over matter power. Well, when you get yourself mind over matter power, yellow is air, which is vibration. That's when your vibration goes up along with your energy. And when your vibration goes up with your energy, you know, you're going to the transformation chakra, which is your heart chakra. White actually is the beginning of the transformation because you're talking yourself into it. And that's like chanting. A lot of people will chant, 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 chant till they can do it. You know, a lot of shamans would chant until they get themselves fired up. That's where, you know, we talked about shape-shifting. You chant, you say, mind over matter, you're talking, you're chanting, you're connecting all these things. You know, you're connecting everything. And once you connect your everything, you know, and your energy is going up where you can do it, your vibrations is with you to where the vibration is going up, to where transformation happened, boom, you can do it. But before you can get to that part, Mother Earth is down here. You got to ground yourself, which is your root chakra. Your root chakra is Mother Earth, which is your first chakra. That's where you start learning how to. Well, people say, I know how to ground. How do you ground? Well, I'll just take my shoes off, get my feet on the ground, and do it. I said, you don't connect with mother or father or whatever, nature, whatever. Oh, no, I just, you know, close my eyes and put my head back and lay with my. Well, you got to connect. again, things will happen when you start connecting. And that's the whole thing. Well, water. Water is what? Your spirit. Spirit, water moves by motion. So spirit is mostly your emotion. You know, and when people talk about emotion, you know, you got to get yourself talked into. You got to get your energy up, your vibration up, your emotion will be up. You remember your Holy Trinity, mind, body, and soul. They all got to work together. When it all works together, man, that's where I'll come back and I show you, okay, you're ready for the magic. You know, you're ready for the magic. That's all right. And now I got good references. You know, Thoth talked about it. You know, Egyptian, Thoth talked about it in Egypt. Well, the Eastern philosophy talks about it. The South American shamans talk about it, about that magic that I'm fixing to teach. And so I got some good references. And, you know, I tell people, I said, you know, when you learn it, you know, knowledge is practice. You practice, practice, practice until you learn that knowledge of what I'm teaching you. Because when I teach this class, I not only tell you what these are, all that, I also give you the exercises on how to enhance or using mind over matter, how to work it, and all that. Same with your vibrations, same with connecting with Mother Earth, same with your water, your spirit, your emotion. You know, spirit is basically fasting. You got to allow the spirit to control the body and not the body control the spirit. You know, and so once I teach all that, then becomes the connection part. Start working together. But before you can do all that, you got to find out who you are. Who are you? Have you come to peace with yourself? Have you forgiven everything? You know, we all go through traumatic experiences or, you know, some kind of a real, something that really disrupted our life, but abuse or traumatic experience, you know, whatever. But if we all go through it, come back and think about it, you know, we learn. We learn something out of it to where we awaken a little more. So, you know, Zuni being so isolated, I like it because there's not hardly, like I said, there's no Walmart, there's no big stores to really, you know, get what is all already out there technology-wise or you know, get influenced, you know. And I'm glad Zuni is one of the still reservation that don't allow alcohol on the reservation, you know. But, you know, they, you know, it's not strict, but, you know, can bring it on. But, you know, at least they don't have a liquor store to support them, you know. And I'm glad about that, you know. But being isolated, you're more, and no TV and stuff like that. The kids are more prone to go play outside, go climb the mountains. That's what I did. I had to go play outside all day. You know, play outside all day, or there's work to be done, I do the work, you know. We were told, do your work and you can go play. Well, we're going to do the work, you know. But we're smart. We're kids, you know. We tell our dad, Dad, we need a six-pack of soda. Why you all need a six-pack of soda? We just need a six-pack. Oh, he didn't ask. Get a six-pack of soda. We gather the neighborhood kids. Let's have a wood chopping contest. Let's see who can spit that big old log. If you do it, you get a swig out of this soda pop. Man, them kids will be chopping our wood. And my dad comes home and says, man, y'all chopped the whole lawn? I said, yep, we did. I mean, we didn't want to chop every day, you know, so we chopped the whole thing. But actually, we had a contest where the kids come around and chop wood for us, you know. But, you know.
Brilliant.
But we, you know, and then the rest of the time, we'd be out mountain climbing. You know, I mean, that mountain behind my mama's house that you saw, I mean, there's no many times how many times I climbed that mountain. You know, and I know exactly where a lot of old villages used to be that hasn't been discovered by anybody. You know, there's all way in the back, what they call the almost by the Twin Buttes in the back, on a south no northwest corner of where my mom's at, behind those mountains, behind Bluebird Mesa. There are actually pictographs out there, but I don't think anybody knows about. I've seen them. Let's go. You know, I've seen them. And I get back there. You know, we're gonna do a lot of. Going to be doing a lot of podcasting, documenting all that stuff, you know. But, you know, that's about the kids. You know, that's how they are. And kids being raised in Zuni, you know, like, you know, I'm surprised my nieces and nephews, you know, they're all respectable. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, they go crazy and running around and all that. You know, they're more respectable. You know, and I like that. You know, I mean, you go over there, hey, uncle, how you? You know, it's always uncle. They never call you by your name, you know, and all this. So, you know, kids are more controlled to where when I go back home, I'm proud to say I'm their uncle because they respect me. And, you know, they don't go crazy with what I do. You know, they don't answer questions. They don't ask questions. They just say, okay, if you do it, you know, then they ask you, can I do it? You know, if I think they can do it, yeah. You know, and that's the way I was raised. I was told, I said, you know, because I remember my grandpa had a truck. And he got to a point to where he couldn't drive it. He was just sitting there. And I was like maybe 11, 12 years old. I asked my grandma, I said, can I learn how to drive that truck? Well, can you reach the pedals? Yeah. It was standard. I mean, I don't know how many clutches I've burned, but, you know, I learned how to drive on a standard vehicle, standard truck, just going, driving out to the farm and back, you know, I'm driving out there, haul water, come back, and, you know, but it was an honor and a privilege to learn how to drive. And that's where I learned how to drive. And, you know, things like that, you know, there was no age limit on what you can do. And so we would allow some of our, and they have to learn. Kids have to learn. So we allow them to learn. And when they learn it, you know, they gain experience on how to do things. And, you know, it all goes back to how the kids is raised again. You know, when they come out of the chute, they get what they call cradle board. And you can tell a cradle board baby to a non-cradle board baby. A cradle board baby is more disciplined. Because when they put on a cradle board, they strap them down and they're sleeping, you know, and they strap down sleeping. When they wake up, they unstrap them, and that's when they stretch out and say, wow. Then as they go on in the beginning, first 2 years of their life on a cradle board, they learn that cradle board is one, safety net for them, and two, they're in their control where they don't go crazy. And those cradle board kids, you know, you go to the house, they'll be sitting there. Usually, if the TV's on, they're watching it. If not, they're just sitting there, or they'll be doing whatever they need to do, you know. But they won't be running around anything. But the kids that are not cradle board, they're all running around, causing all kinds of, you know, havoc in the house. But that's how you can tell. Even in dances, when I was growing up, there's some kids that used to just run around on top of that roof by the plaza, and I remember this one old man, boy, you don't want to run around when he's up there because he'll grab you. He'll take his belt off and whoop you. No, he don't care who you are. He's just going to grab you and whoop you and send you home. You know? And when you go home and tell your parents, I got whooped by so-and-so, well, you probably deserve it. Were you naughty? Well, yeah. Okay. You know, nobody asks questions. You know, we used to get whooped, you know, not beat to death, but back then, you know, they know what whooping is and beaten to death, but, you know, all that, you know, so it was, you know, it was discipline that we had to abide by, and we learned to respect it, you know, respect our elders, you know, and all these things on a reservation is just really a different, and, you know, it was a culture shock for me when I left the reservation and, you know, started my journey in life. I left when I was 14. I went to Clovis. I went to school out there. Then when I graduated from high school, I joined the military. And after the military, I'm still trying to find my way back. But I think this year is it. I'm going to move back to the reservation because it's time. It's time for me to go back and, you know, enjoy the reservation life again, because I miss that. You know, miss going out to the mountains, miss going out to the ranch, miss going out to doing whatever you want to do, you know, and watching the dances, you know, dances going on every, seems like, you know, for self-entertainment, if not religious dances, we got social dances going on, you know, and so something's going on, even though they're isolated, they're entertaining themselves to where something is going on. And there's usually people participating to where, you know, everybody is involved, you know, not just one person or one group, but everybody's involved in that. So that's part of, you know, functionalism as to what we do on resident, and everybody's supporting. Again, if I get hungry, walking down the road, I say, man, I'm hungry. If one of the people that owns the house next where I'm at hears me, come on in my house, I'll feed you. You know, they'll take me in, they'll feed me. And in return, I would have to go out, do a little work for them. Maybe chop wood, bring the wood in, you know, something like that. You know, I would do in return of being fed, you know. That's how I would pay for my meal. And, you know, we don't have a convalescent center or a nursing home or anything like that, because we take care of our elders. Even though they're not related to you, you bring them in your house, you take care of them. You know, if they don't have family, you take care of them, because, you know, they and I like to do that because, man, digging their oral history knowledge is my game. I will take that cassette recorder everywhere I go, you know, and I say, well, tell me about this, turn it on, tell me about this thing, you know, and they'll tell about the old stuff, what they used to do. And that, you know, that used to be very learning for me, because I really learned a lot of things and a lot of confirmation, because as a young age going into the medicine society, you know, young age being I was 7 years old, when I was taught by the elders back then, and everything was just like old fashioned, as they call it, but actually it was more a spiritual teaching than what they do now. And like I said, everything broke down. And when you know, like that shrine that you had in the back, where I say, Inca and Inya, that thing, you know, I can describe to you why this is there, why that is there. You know, like the rainbow, that's actually your chakras. Look at the bottom, it's red. Look at the top, it's purple. You know, that's your chakra colors. But it goes more, because your actual chakras have 12 chakras, not just 7. And this is the reason why we're teaching this as chakra and native alchemy, because chakras do go with your colors of your medicine wheel. Red being earth, that's a root chakra, because you ground the mother earth. You know, that's your roots. You know what I mean? And then it's a survival chakra, which is you got to, in order to survive, you got to learn how to love, you got to learn how to, you know, be loved. You got to learn how to accept that love. You got to learn how to forgive. You got to learn how to forgive yourself and all this before you can go to the next chakra, because the next chakra is water, emotion. Emotion is, you got to be able to control your emotion, because when you get yourself fired up, which is the next chakra, the third chakra, which is fire, when you get yourself fired up, that's when transformation starts. And when you get to the fourth chakra, which is the green, which is your heart chakra, that's where your, you know, things happen. Transformation is happening at that point. And after that transformation is your blu-ray chakra, which is your throat chakra. And that is your vibration to get you. And by raising your vibration, you're raising into the next dimension. Raising your, because your vibration is what raises you to the next dimension. Then when you get to the next dimension, it goes on to get into the celestial system. That's when the I guess your top chakra is where Well, before you get to the top chakra, your sixth chakra is where transformation of esoteric things gonna start happening. You know, now your transformation is where you start seeing stuff happening, like you start seeing the star people, they start communicating with the star people. When you go into the esoteric, that's when you start going into like remote viewing, or you start doing other things like that, psychic surgery, you know, and all this. That's what's happening. And top chakra is, you're out there. You're out there. And the more I question my elders, the Hopi, the Navajo, and all that, the more I question about that astral chakra, you know, it's really interesting, because they always tell me that we as humans come from the dust of the space, not Earth, but the space. That's how we come and get created on Earth. That's how our creation starts. Our spirit is out there. It's just that when our spirit, again, dirt, Mother Earth, and Creator, when they come together, that's where you are. And, you know, they also tell you that space has no time. Space has no time. All these time, year, this is the year that this is going to happen, this is the year that. Why? Why do they say that? And if it doesn't happen, what do they say? Oh, well, I thought it was going to, you know. But because they tell you the space has no time. It's an infinite thing. You go out to space, you know, your soul is an infinite being. You know, it could go to the next dimension, which is transformation or reincarnation, or go on to wherever, next planet, whatever. It's going to be an infinite being. It's going to be infinite. But the avatar is going to stay with Mother Earth, because that's where Mother Earth was created. You know, Mother Earth gave you the breath of life to come to this earth. And so the elders say, we all chose come here. It's like they gave us a plan. Here, okay, this is what is going to happen to you while you're down here. You know, you accept that, you learn to go through it, you learn from it, or you don't. And as they say, you know, you come as a light, but, you know, your light transmute to dark, because they control you. They try to change you. But as you go through this abuse or whatever tragic event you go through, it kind of wakes you up. When it wakes you up, you're transmuting yourself back to light. And that's what they call awakening. You know, it's what they tell me. That's why you are awakened. You were awoken at the age of 3, whether you realize it or not. You started awakening at that point. You remember it. And I said, well, the only thing I remember is I remember climbing out of the car and walking off into the woods. Then from there, I don't remember what happened. And then 2 weeks later, I remember riding on the back of that man that was carrying me out of the woods. You know, he gave me a piggyback ride, put me on his back, and walked out the woods with me. And walked all the way to Zuning, handed me over to my grandma. Says, this is going to be my godson. I will train him the way I want to train him. You know, I'm a medicine man, so I will bring him to my group, train him. He's got special gifts. And everybody says, well, what did they teach you? They didn't teach me anything. We all have gifts. We just teach you modalities of the ceremony to where you have that magic. You have that gift. And that's why I'm referring to when I say the classes. I may sound like I'm advertising, but really, everybody has that gift. Oh, and then when, you know, everybody knows about it, you know, hopefully they can understand what I'm trying to, you know, say, because we need to. People come ask me, well, what is a rainbow warrior? I'm a rainbow warrior. I said, okay, if you are, what's your job? as a Rainbow Warrior. What do you do? I need to learn from you. I said, learn what? You know, it's just like when I was accused of giving away religious secret, I said, what religion are you defending? I said, okay, you know, you need to really learn what you're going to be practicing before you practice. And you know, these little Mormons come around and I love them. I bring them in. I said, I listen to you. Then I ask them questions like that. What is the Mormon religion? What, I mean, how come you believe in one man, Joseph Smith? Why? You know, I mean, who is he? They won't even know who he is, you know? But as we talk, as I tell them, I said, they asked me, well, what are you? I said, I'm spiritual. I believe like the hawk in the back. I believe that hawk has a spirit. Everything has a spirit. The tree has a spirit. I believe in that. You know, I talk to the trees. I talk to the birds. I talk to squirrels. I talk to crows, you know, they come around. What do you want? You know, and they talk back. Crows are the bad about talking back. You know, I just want that. Well, you know, what do you do to earn that corn? You know, but, you know, it's amazing how, you know, things will come around and we just don't do it just because, you know, we want blessings and all that. We just do it unknowingly and, you know, blessing comes unexpectedly in our life, you know, and when it does happen, we appreciate it. We appreciate it because it's unexpected. And we say, thank you, crow, or thank you, tree. Thank you, you know, whatever. But we connect with them. And that's the biggest part about everything, connection, you know. And when I tell people, I say, if you really, really want to be a Rainbow Warrior, start grounding. Find out who your source is. Start connecting. Then you got to get your answers, you know. And, you know, I give them some references on what to look at, you know. And, you know, a lot of things are documented. Project Looking Glass is documented real good about remote viewing, but when they teach it, they can't teach it. Why? Because they're living out the soul. Then they're teaching the mind, the body, but they don't know the spiritual part about it. And when I look at that stuff that Matilda Cox Stevenson documented back in the 1800s, you know, she was unlimited to document. They told her she can observe and document what she's observing. So she started doing that. And then that was her first ethnology report. The second ethnology report is when she went back in and started digging a little deeper. But the elders told them, well, this is the prayer that we pray. This is the relics that we use and everything. But they don't teach them the meaning behind the prayer, meaning behind that relics. You know, it's just like when I talk about crystals, a lot of people say, well, what do you want crystals for? Well, a lot of medicine men use it to look around. The Navajos use it to look. They put an eagle teardrop on that crystal. And they looking in the galaxy. You know, they're looking beyond. And same as the Hopis, same as the Atma people. They use it stargazing. You know, they look into the crystal. Some people use it as kind of like a crystal ball. They look into it. Whoever they're trying to help, they can tell them the crystal ball or the star crystal will show them what that person is going through. And then when they tell them, that person will be like, man, you hit it right on the money. You know? And they say, okay. Okay. And, you know, things like that is out there. But, again, how you use it. You can smudge it. You can say a prayer over it and all that. But if you don't connect with it, it's not going to happen. And that connection is the magic. How do you connect with it? Again, raising your energy, your vibration, control your emotion, connecting with your source. Those are things that learn how to use it. And again, once you learn it, practice it. Practice, practice, practice. Practice this knowledge. When you gain that knowledge, it becomes wisdom because you're more wise about how to use it right and not abuse it. Because when you abuse it, go far back at you. You know, go far back at you. So you have to learn to use it. But, you know, things that we do in this world is just really, to me, it's really like a movie. Because when I go out there and I look around, if I'm not out in nature, I'm lost. I don't like to go in big cities. You know, bad enough where we're at, we drive into town, we just go from point A to point B to point C, back home. You know, because there's so much craziness energy in that area. Like you go to Walmart, you know, Walmart got all, I mean, some people be nice, you turn around, you know, some of them were growling it, but you just have to smile and tell them that they, boy, those that don't like to hear that boy snapping at you, like, snapping at you. You just smile and walk away, you know. You know, and
halo.
Yeah, halo, you know. But I just wanted to, you know, tell you a little bit about Zuni. You know, I mean, what we go through and how life is out there, and you know, got a little experience, you know, out there, and how beautiful it is. You know, you need to bring back that Salt Lake drone video you have out there, because everybody asks, it's hard to look for it, you know, in your stack of videos. But
yeah, that, you know what, man, that was such a beautiful experience. Absolutely priceless, majestic, magical. You know, I actually was looking back at some of our, just in my memory banks, thinking about some of our experiences, and we've had some really amazing experiences, man. I really want to hang out with you again soon. And the reason we didn't really get to do much last time is money, bills, and issues, right? So we all have them. If we didn't have them, then we wouldn't have a pulse. But just at that time, I just wasn't able to get out there. I've got some other avenues that I'm working on right now to bring in a little bit more funds so I can go out and do these field trips, because these field trips are expensive, but they're so worth it. And people have been asking me, like, Rex, we missed the field trips. And I'm like, hey, I get it, man. I don't have the sponsorships that I used to. I'm doing the best that I can. With that said, next time you come out, whether it's tomorrow or the beginning of next year or in March, I give you my word. I will, unless something, you know, something happens, like, but if I can make it, I will. I'm planning on making it with you and going out there and spending some time, spending a few days out there, and anything that you want to document or talk about, it would be an honor. And I'll bring all the equipment. And I'm talking to a couple of people right now that actually have a little bit of money to put into a couple projects. So I'm even looking into possibly getting a loan for a documentary. So we'll keep talking. We'll make it happen. And I want to show off your Facebook page, just because I've had people ask me, like, Rex, I've left the link, but I just want to show people. It's real easy. It's One Nation Tribal Alliance on Facebook. And I'll leave the link there. And then once you're invited,
and then they can contact me on that. The class is still open.
Okay.
The class we're teaching is still open. We're going to keep it open till end of December. And once we close it, it's going to go back up to a regular price, which is going to be $600. We got it on for less than half off because it's now for $297. But, you know, again, this will help you. Is be the groundwork of, like I said, learn how to raise your vibration, your energy, your motion, and grounding the Mother Earth, as well as learn the chakras. Why is chakra so important? Well, ground chakra, water chakra is next. Energy chakra is the following. And then your air chakra, your vibration, that's where the transformation. We break all that down. And our next class in January is going to be even higher than higher vibration. I'm going to go into that Matilda Cox Stevenson's Galaxy Fraternity and Stargazers. Already talking to two, no, I'm talking to three Stargazers, one Navajo, Acoma, and Izuni. Looking at talking to the Stargazer. You know, I'm comparing my notes already because that's to do that, to understand that. Got to be able to raise up your vibration to a higher dimension. So like I said, I knew that there were aliens out there, or it's not aliens. They don't like to be called aliens because they done told me that, a mantis, or sure a mantis came and said, we're not aliens. Yes, sir. You know, but they didn't know like that. They're so peaceful and loving people. And everybody said, well, I'm going to be attacked by these, you know, space beings. I said, we're not going to be attacked. They're already here. The reptilians are already here. You know? So they're just trying to give us messages right now. But to get to that level, to receive this kind of stuff, you know, we're going that part. Tim's going to do light language. I'm going to do about Galaxy Fraternity and stargazing. And that's going to be the next level of, because that's going to be up at your higher vibration level. And like I said, I knew they were out there, but I said, yeah, played it off until they came up and showed me at the VLA. I saw that clear as daylight, and I told Kim, I said, look at that shiny thing. That's some kind of weird plane, because it doesn't have a chemtrail or doesn't have a exhaust trail. She looked at it and says, oh, that's a spaceship. Grabbed my camera, ready to take a picture of it, got it up there, chomp, took off. I said, wow. But, you know, like I said, I'm hard-headed. Show me again. Prove to me again. Coming out, start taking pictures of the clouds. They're in the clouds. You know, I said, why are they following us? They're just protecting us because of what we did. Or what we experienced, they're just protecting us. They're here to protect us, you know? I said, wow. You know, so I said, okay, y'all do up there, you know, but the more I study into it and listen to some of these elders, they all know about it, but they just don't want to come out and say it because, like they say, they're going to think we're crazy, put us in a nursing home, you know, lock us up. I said, no, they won't. Not as long as I'm alive, you ain't going to go, ain't nobody going to go to a nursing home. You know, if I can't put my mama in a nursing home, no, nobody gonna go there. You know, maybe that's why I'm moving into my mama's house. It's got plenty of bedrooms. You know, and I don't know. We don't know yet, but I'll find out when I get there. You know, I just, you know, but you know, these classes are gonna be. These are great. I mean, we got some good students. I mean, they are. I mean, I like it when they really ask me questions that they experience, and all that, and what they're going through. And so it's real interesting, Rex, you know. So,
well, send me a link. Maybe I'll pop in and say hi. And I'd love to hear some of that. And we'll do a future presentation actually where people can attend. So I think that'd be fun. We'll go do some field trips. We'll go explore some petroglyph spots. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of fun, man. And happy Thanksgiving. Happy Kaleko. Did I say that right?
Shalako. Shalako.
Shalako. Happy Shalako. That's what I'm talking
about.
That's
it.
Hello. Happy Shalako. Hello. Happy Shalako. I don't need to edit that out, do I? People be like, Rex, you're such an idiot. Hey, I apologize. I'm getting ready to eat some turkey. You are what you eat.
Bad enough. Everybody said, what's your name? I said, Imsayawaka. Okay. How about another one? I said, Greg.
Just call me Bob.
Call me Bob, yeah.
Yeah. That's easy. You won't forget that.
Yeah, call me Al, you know.
You can call me Al. Oh, yeah. That's a great song. That is a great song, man. When songs used to be great, you call
when
me Al.
Songs used to be Greg.
When songs used to be Greg. When songs used to be Greg.
Yeah.
Oh man, can you hear that? Can you hear that? I got the I got my grow tower pump going on. It's like growing some kale, growing some lettuce, growing some parsley, some oregano, maybe some carrots if they work, some tomatoes if they work. Actually, the carrots won't work. I don't think I have carrots in there. I've got tomatoes. And what else did I put? Tomatoes, strawberries? I don't remember. But most of it's lettuce. And the top shelf starting to come out a little bit. But anyway, folks, that's for a whole other podcast. I'm going to let y'all go eat some food and have a beautiful day. Spend time with those that you love. If you haven't talked to somebody in a while that's close to you, you know you need to call them. Call them, tell them you love them. If you can, give them a hug, because right now we're in the present and the present is a gift. And I'm so thankful to be here with all of you. Very thankful for all of you. Very thankful for you, Greg.
Yes. I am thankful for your audience, your crowd, you know, because every day is a thankful day. Every day is a thankful day. Not just today, but every day. You know, we should be thankful for everything. Gratitude of attitude. Attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm thankful for you, Greg.
Well, I'm thankful for you too, man. We did a lot of things, you know. You knocked yourself down at that Salt Lake. I said, I was like that. I don't know if you ever seen that Blazing Saddles movie.
Yeah.
Them cowboys and Indians were going out there. Cowboys were just going out there just suffering all that. The Indians up on top of that mountain says, should have showed them the highway.
Love it. I love
up
it.
There on top of that, well, you and Shonda was down at the Salt Lake. I'm just up there. So, well, should have showed them the path. But it was a learning experience. Well, anyway, all right, bro. Listen, great talking to you. And just for everybody on my group, I love y'all. And y'all have a great holidays coming up. I don't know what I'll be doing, but I'm still around. You get a hold of me, fine. I'm here.
Right. So, all right. Well, I'm going to upload this right now on YouTube and be the change you want to see, everybody. Thanks, Ray.
All righty.
Love you, man.
Bye-bye.